Thanks for coming back to WKAR.org for Overtime with Chris Kolb, our state budget director. And Mr. Budget Director, these were two lines you used the other day that to some people seemed like a throwaway line, but I want to dive into it. You said there is very little left to be cut in state government, which was, sir, code to the Republicans. Don't go nuts trying to cut state services. Am I onto something there or not?
It's just the honest truth. You'll get tired of me saying this, but the general fund has been flat for 20 years. And I've gone through every single line in the budget, multiple times. Our departments are already skinny, and there's just not anything there significant to cut. In 2001, we had 62,000 state employees. Today, we have 48,000 employees. They're still providing, critical services around the state. But if we want to cut, we're going to cut critical services that our citizens and residents really are depending on right now, especially in this healthcare and economic crisis that we're dealing with.
Chris, how much is the increase in enrollment in Medicaid over the last 4 or 5 months? I know we're well over 700,000 enrollees in Healthy Michigan. How much pressure is that putting on the budget this year?
I talk about this usually, I think I said the other day, but we have about a $3 billion, revenue deficit that we're looking at for fiscal year 21. But we also have increases in Medicaid and other health and human service costs that are going to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So we're still getting our handle around that, but they will be significant.
Budget Director, you've mentioned a couple of times that you're going back to the consensus in August. And are you anticipating any positive news coming out of that? We have had a few sectors of the economy open again. Is there any chance that there's going to be any positives to come out of that that could potentially help with the upcoming fiscal year's conversations?
I think that we have seen some positive, revenue numbers, but we're still down significantly. Every dollar helps. But it won't be enough to close that big gap. I think though what you're going to see is this is going to be more economically like a roller coaster, and that we're going to have some good months and good weeks, and then we're going to have some months and maybe a quarter where it's not so good. So it's like, hold on tight and prepare for some of the real unknowns. So while we're seeing, somewhat of an increase right now, we are uncertain as to whether that's going to really maintain. And that's why it's so critical to get a couple more months of economic data and revenue data so that we can have better numbers come later this August. We pushed back the income tax deadline date till July 15th. So we need that to come in. I think some of the business numbers come in about mid-month. So it's going to be important to get all of those numbers in and then come to consensus as to what type of revenue we're really looking at. But I really think that this is more like a roller coaster than a steady climb up.
Mr. Director, you were once an elected state representative in the early years of the century. And you were on the House Appropriations Committee, and you had to deal with budget directors. How does it feel being on the other side of the table? And did you reach out, and are you reaching out to your predecessors as budget directors for advice? And how do you see things now compared to the way you saw them when you were back as an elected legislator?
I am really trying not to smile too much on that question. I think every appropriations member should have to be a budget director at some point. It gives you an entirely different perspective on the job and what you have to do. And it's different. I think that the legislature is able to focus in on particular parts of the budget But it's really the budget director and the budget office that looks enterprise-wide and looks, you know, really globally at everything. And at the appropriations level, I think they're more focused on different particular aspects of that budget. But there's only one person, I think, that's really looking at this across all of state government, and that's the budget office and the budget director. And I actually, this is not a reflection on anybody, but I did one Friday night, I do believe, I called up Mary Lanois, and I'd had a frustrating meeting, and I just said, Mary, I just want to apologize if I ever tormented you with my questions, and my perspective, because I truly, truly am sorry. And she just laughed, you know, but it's not to reflect on anybody, but just to say, hey, it is a much different perspective on this side of the equation than on the legislative equation. And I think having been on appropriations, it does give me insight into how legislators look at the budget. And it's up to me to try to translate how I see the budget, you know, across the entire a spectrum for them to understand what I'm looking at as well. And I think, I'm not gonna say I'm great at that, but that's what I've tried to do. And I've had some really good partners in, you know, Senator Stamos, Representative Hernandez, both Hertel and Hoadley to work on this together, as well as the vice, you know, chairs of subcommittees, and just really try to keep as much communications open and understanding where they're coming from, and try to explain, you know, where we're coming from as well.
Mr. Director, have you ever thought about the option of going to the state's foundation community and saying, look, if you're in the arts, could you make a contribution to the state to help me preserve the arts? Is that an option, sir?
You know, coming from, you know, just recently the nonprofit world, and where foundations are a key component of our funding, I do know the, you know, the resources they have and what an asset they are to our state, but they alone can't solve our problems. But I think they can be important partners when we look at different aspects of the issues we're facing going forward. So yes, I think that they are, you know, always someone that we can call on, if not for, you know, a total solution, but for parts, and also to help provide guidance and insight. They have lots of connections and resources, both nationally, internationally, and here in Michigan that we can draw on. So I've always seen them as a critical partner in this, but I do know they have limitations, and they're not there just to solve all of our problems as well. But I really respect what they do here in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, but you're not adverse to asking them to write a check, no matter how small it is. Doesn't every amount help?
Everything helps, Tim. And you know, I think all of us know that we're in this together, that we, you know, whether it's the business community, our residents, government, the legislature, and our foundations, we're in this together. Whatever we can do together to help solve this health crisis and get our economy running, you know, revved up again, we've got to do together. And I look forward to those type of conversations.
All right, we have about 5 minutes left. Chad, let's get a quick one in here.
Yeah, there's a little in the weeds here on Medicaid, but has there been any review of the managed care companies, the insurance companies that run Medicaid plans, and the amount of claims that they got during the height of the pandemic? Was there a big drop-off, is there more savings to sort of wring out of those companies, as you did just in this last budget cycle, getting them to agree to take a cut in their profit margin they make from managing Medicaid?
Well, I mean, if you look at what happened, you know, on the private side, Blue Cross Blue Shield provided a significant rebate back to its policyholders because it did see excess profits, because, you know, when they couldn't provide those non-critical operations that that their costs went down. And we see that in the managed care side as well. DHHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, is having conversations with the managed care companies as well. So those health plans are in conversations with DHHS as we speak.
Mr. Director, because of coronavirus, do you feel you've been dealt a bad hand as budget director compared to your predecessor? Did Bob Emerson ever say to you, he's a former state senator and also budget director, did he ever say, boy, Chris, am I glad I'm not in your shoes? I never had to deal with this.
Bob was in sort of, some similar situations, at the beginning of, he said the century, which is hard to say, when you're looking back. But yeah, I mean, we were in, tough times, during the early 2000s. And so we dealt, when I was in the legislature, we never increased the budget. We always made cuts, and we're dealing with less and less money. And Bob came in at the tail end of that, where they're, they were dealing with budget shortfalls and were looking for solutions on a bipartisan basis. But no, he hasn't ever called me up and sort of rubbed a little salt in my wounds. But it is what it is. We are where we are, and we have to deal with that. And that's the attitude I take. And that's the attitude that I get from my counterparts in the legislature. We know that we have a job to do, and we've got to do it together, and together we'll find a solution that works.
All right, Lauren, last question.
Budget Director, I know you have a lot on your plate right now with just trying to finish next fiscal year, but as you alluded to, it does sound as though this could be a roller coaster for years to come. So how does the Budget Office kind of plan and prepare for the idea that this may not go back to normal anytime soon, presumably, even if federal funding does come for this budget cycle, that's not a guarantee for the next budget cycle or the next. So what's the long-term strategy here for your office to kind of continue responding to the coronavirus and the long-term economic impacts of this?
I think what we try to do is, balance the need for critical vital services that our residents need, and look at the resources we have and try to match those up. And we're always trying to fund priorities of education, public safety, healthcare services, and make sure that we have the resources there to meet those high critical needs. And then look at the resources, one of the first actions that the governor took was to implement a freeze and discretionary spending freeze. And we've continued that. And I foresee that going forward. And we are asking departments to look at, are there ways that we can make cuts that are not just one time in making? So we need to look at, how can we go make some reductions that don't harm critical services, but also provide some ongoing savings. And it's a really delicate balance. As I said, the general budget's been flat for 20 years. We've made tons of cuts, and we've reduced, huge amounts of state employees are no longer with us. So there's not a whole lot there, but I continue to ask them to take a step back, see what we can do. Are there ways we can, meet these needs and still save dollars as well? There's no playbook for something like this. Hopefully we'll help develop one. But every day something new is happening that we have to react to. We try to plan for every scenario. And I think that's, the key there is we've been looking at this this entire time from every scenario, whether we get a lot of money or we don't. How can we balance the budget in each of those scenarios so we're prepared for whatever comes before us? And it's not the budget director. It's a really talented group of staff that I've inherited and I'm lucky to be able to work with, who provide myself and the governor and her team with lots of different options. And together we try to find the path forward.
Mr. Kolb, thanks for being on the show. One final question. Are you done running for elective office?
Tim, you never say never, but I think one of the things that I bring to the table is my name's not on the ballot. It's not going to be on the ballot. So I don't worry about how anything I do is going to impact something in the future. I have wonderful, wonderful representatives who represent me here locally at the state and at the federal government. So I'm fine. I've had a great career. It's not done yet, but however I can help my local community, my state, or anywhere else, I'm always, willing to do that.
So I guess you are running for something. Thank you, sir, for joining us on the program.
I've done that. I've enjoyed it. This has been a really, I'm loving, what I'm doing. I wish there were a few more dollars, obviously, but supporting the governor and her priorities and her vision for Michigan is a dream come true.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure working with you. Also, our thanks to our colleagues, Chad and Lauren and Bill. Everybody have a safe weekend, and we'll see you right back here next week for more Off the Record. Have a good weekend, everybody.